Hello everyone, this is Sharon. I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with an article entitled Rodriguez Proud to Succeed Wasson, Health Chief Named County Administrator. On one of the greatest nights in her career, Camille Rodriguez thought of her grandmother. My grandmother used to pick vegetables, and now her granddaughter is holding a position of esteem and pride. Not that her position wasn't prideful also, but I've been blessed, Rodriguez told the pantograph. It's amazing what families can do in the span of a generation or two. Rodriguez is not only the first person of color, but also the first woman to be named McLean County Administrator following a county board vote on Tuesday. It obviously has significance to my three daughters. They are very proud of their mother, the very first woman to hold this position, she said. I feel like McLean County, in and of itself, has a strong history of hiring the right client for the job. So I'm just proud to be held in the company of the previous county administrators. She'll take the job June 1st to succeed Bill Wasson, who's retiring after 34 years with the county, including 8 as administrator. Rodriguez said she looks forward to bringing 20 years of government experience, including a year as director of the McLean County Health Department, the county's highest hired position. I'll be spending as much time with current County Administrator Wasson that I can, while still fulfilling all of the expectations that the McLean County Board of Health has, she said. I'm looking forward to effectuating what the County Board sees as my role and responsibilities for as long as I can. The Board of Health will begin meeting later this month to discuss the transition to a new leader, said President Judy Buchanan. An interim Health Department administrator will be named before Rodriguez leaves that role. Personally and professionally, I'm delighted by this opportunity for Camille, Buchanan said. We on the Board of Health have found her to be a capable leader. We will miss her, but look forward to working with her on a higher stage. Buchanan said she will recommend that the Board of Health conduct a national search with the goal of naming a new health department administrator in several months. I'll be involved in finding a successor, just relative to setting the stage for the Board of Health, said Rodriguez. In the last few months that I've held that role, we've established a new strategic plan, and we've changed the mission, vision, and value statements. I think the Board of Health will look for a successor that is willing and able to continue on implementing those cultural changes. Rodriguez, an Oshkosh, Wisconsin native, previously served as director of the Bureau of Community Health Promotion for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Division of Public Health. She also served the state of Illinois for a decade in the Department of Children and Family Services, Division of Child Protection, and with the Office of the Executive Inspector General. Rodriguez will be paid $130,000 per year, plus $323 per pay period in pension contributions and other benefits. Wasson's salary is $145,816 plus $17,248 annually in pension contributions and $22,540 in other benefits. Rodriguez beat out two other finalists for administrator, Eric Schmidt, the county's administrative service director, and George Casquara, financial director for Chicago suburb Crystal Lake. A committee of community leaders, including two former administrators, helped the county pick 5 candidates to interview. The board recognized those leaders during Tuesday's meetings. Thank you and good luck working with this group, said board chair John McIntyre, who led the search to Rodriguez. I'm sure you'll be successful. Rodriguez was approved by a 15-0 vote. Board member George Wendt abstained and declined to comment on that decision after the meeting. Board members Jacob Beard, Bill Casely, Chuck Erickson, and Randall Martin did not attend Tuesday's meeting. With the hire, each of McLean County's biggest governmental bodies has replaced its top leader in the last year plus. Normal hired City Manager Pam Reese, the first woman to hold that job, to succeed Mark Peterson, and Bloomington hired City Manager Tim Gleason to succeed David Hales. Doctor says back wound may have been final shot. Pathologist testifies no indication woman shot at close range. Pam Zimmerman may have been shot in the back as she lay dying from three other gunshot wounds, a pathologist testified Tuesday at her ex-husband's murder trial. Jurors viewed graphic photos of the wounds that killed Pam Zimmerman on November 3, 2014, in her Eastside Bloomington office. Forensic pathologist Dr. Scott Denton identified about 50 autopsy photos of wounds to the 53-year-old victim's chest, head, and back. The victim may have suffered the wound to her back after she had collapsed on the floor while sitting at her office's reception desk, Denton testified. On the issue of time of death, Denton estimated the victim died sometime before midnight. The wounds showed no indication of having been fired at close range or within 18 inches from the victim, said Denton. Defense lawyer John Rogers continued his scrutiny Tuesday of how police settled on Kirk Zimmerman, 60, as the person who should face murder charges in the death of his ex-wife. Bloomington Police Detective John Heinlein was asked why Eldon Whitlow, the victim's final client, may have been treated differently from the defendant by police. Zimmerman was confronted by five officers at his office hours after his ex-wife's body was found. Samples for DNA and gunshot residue tests were collected from Zimmerman later that day. Heinlein acknowledged that Whitlow was met by police after work and allowed to drive himself to the police department. When asked why Whitlow's DNA and fingerprints weren't collected until several months after the slaying, Heinlein said DNA and fingerprints don't change, so there's no need to do them quickly. The detective denied Rogers' suggestion that police were accommodating to Whitlow, who was excluded as a suspect. Police sometimes want to stay in good graces of a person of interest as a way of securing their future cooperation, said the detective. Heinlein acknowledged police did not immediately request a search warrant for Whitlow's 9mm handgun, the same caliber weapon used to kill the victim. The detective admitted he could not say with certainty if the gun seized the following day at Whitlow's home was the same weapon Whitlow had described earlier to police. An examination of the gun by the State Police Crime Lab showed Whitlow's gun did not fire the bullets that killed the woman, according to earlier testimony in the trial that opened on April 1st. So far, 20 state witnesses have testified in what may be a 4 to 6 week trial. Before the lunch recess Tuesday, the jury heard information on a text message exchange between Pam Zimmerman's fiancé, Scott Baldwin, and another woman containing a potential threat. Baldwin admitted in testimony Monday that he was still romantically involved with another woman at the time he was dating Pam Zimmerman in 2014. Judge Scott Drzyski ruled the defense could ask Baldwin about one in a series of text messages. Baldwin's message to an unidentified recipient referred to burying you, according to Rogers. The judge excluded other texts dating back to June 2014, ruling the material was not relevant and potentially pre- 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 ah. a problem to the state. Rogers argued the messages reflect Baldwin's potential to be threatening toward women. The defense contends Bloomington police focused on Kirk Zimmerman as a suspect early in their investigation without directing equal energy and resources toward other possible suspects. The trial continues Wednesday with additional testimony expected from police officers. Register now for summer programs. The City of Bloomington Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Arts programs include pool passes and swim lessons, youth and adult sports, day camps, art classes, dance classes, early childhood programs, zoo education classes, 55 years old plus classes and trips, hockey and ice skating, Miller Park Summer Theater, SOAR programs, and much more. For more information or to register, visit bloomingtonparks.org or call 309-434-2260. Here's today's Flick Fact. There comes a spring day in every central Illinois snowblower owner's life that it's safe to empty out the gas tank, unplug the spark plug, and store it in a corner of the garage until November. Do you know what precise date that is? And the answer? If you go by history, at the end of today. 66 years ago today, on April 17, 1953, the Bloomington Normal area got 3 inches of snow. According to weather records, that ranks as the latest it has ever snowed a measurable amount here. Today in history, today is Wednesday, April 17th. It's the 107th day of 2019, and we have 258 days left in this year. On April 17, 1972, the Boston Marathon allowed women to compete for the first time. Nina Cusick was the first officially recognized women's champion with a time of 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 26 seconds. On this date in 1492, a contract was signed by Christopher Columbus and a representative of Spain's King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, giving Columbus a commission to seek a westward ocean passage to Asia. In 1521, Martin Luther went before the Diet of Worms to face charges stemming from his religious writings. Luther was later declared an outlaw by Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. In 1861, the Virginia State Convention voted to secede from the Union. And locally, how time flies. 100 years ago, April 17, 1919, B.T. Bradbury, 70, a renowned weather prognosticator around Weston, has died. He hadn't been seen for days and his mail was piling up, so 4 neighbors entered his house and found him dead on the kitchen floor. Bradbury was a Eureka College graduate. 75 years ago, April 17, 1944, lunch counter workers' lingo in downtown Bloomington can sound odd. Burn one is a malted milk order. 2 and 3 means a couple of 3-minute eggs. Grilled AC for grilled cheese, and 1 PJ on for peanut butter and jelly on toast. 50 years ago, on April 17, 1969, members of Calvary Baptist Church voted to mount a Keep Normal Dry campaign as the town nears a decision on issuing liquor licenses again. Founded as a dry town, Normal was wet briefly after Prohibition was repealed, but then voted itself dry again. 25 years ago, on April 17, 1994, floodwaters are starting to recede across Illinois. Unless there is more rain, all Illinois rivers are expected to begin dropping by midweek. The Army Corps of Engineers has taken its officers off 12-hour shifts, figuring the worst of the flooding was over. Deadline set for records. Judge orders state to let Butler eye financial papers in theft case. A judge set a May 31st deadline for the state to provide copies of documents seized by Illinois State Police to John Y. Butler, who's accused of mishandling money during the decade he managed the city-owned arena. On Tuesday, McLean County Judge William Yoder set the deadline nearly a year after state police refused to allow Butler to review volumes of business documents being stored in a state police facility in Pontiac. Butler and three other former management-level staff of what was then known as U.S. Cellular Coliseum face allegations of theft, wire fraud, money laundering, and tax-related offenses. A fifth person reached a plea agreement with the state that requires him to cooperate in the pending cases. In May 2018, lawyers for Butler complained the state had barred Butler from accompanying his lawyers to Pontiac to review the contents of more than 70 boxes of Butler's business records. The defense team wanted to review the documents to determine what materials may be needed for their case. State police agreed to scan the documents and provide the copies to Butler's attorneys. Contents of 16 boxes were scanned by state police and provided to Butler's attorneys, but 33 more boxes of documents, along with other seized accounting records, have not. Butler's attorney Stephen Beckett told Yoder. In order to provide Butler a proper defense, we still need to know what's in those boxes, said Beckett. 27 boxes of documents were returned on Friday to Butler after Illinois State Police agent Daniel Rossiter acknowledged in October they contained material outside the scope of a search warrant issued December 22, 2016. Butler has filed a challenge to that search warrant for 3 years of financial records for Central Illinois Arena Management, the management firm Butler owns, and BMI Concessions, which was the food and beverage vendor for the venue. Arguments on that matter were delayed in March because Rossiter is on medical leave until July 1st. A June 18th hearing will be held if Rossiter is able to return to light duty by then, said Yoder. Yoder said Tuesday he has not made a ruling on a motion requested by Venue Works to quash Butler's motion seeking computerized financial records maintained by Venue Works. Yoder said he will do so soon. In challenging the subpoena, Don Wall, Venue Works' lawyer, argued in March that those records were irrelevant because Venue Works never had any relationship with Butler. Venue Works was hired in April 2016 to manage the venue, now called Grossinger Motors Arena, after CIMA's contract with the city ended. Beckett contended that if certain provisions of the city's financial arrangement with Venue Works mirror the terms in place with CIAM, it shows the state's theory of criminality is flawed. Feedback is sought on Bloomington Normal grant spending. Bloomington and Normal officials are looking for community feedback on how to spend nearly $5 million in federal grant money due to the city and town over the next 5 years. Residents are invited to fill out a brief survey either online at mcplan.org or at one of 14 Twin City locations to have their say in how community development block grant money will be allocated. Though Bloomington and Normal historically have gotten the money, The 2020 to 2024 period is the first time they're working together on how to spend it in partnership with McLean County Regional Planning Commission. The CDBG program provides annual grants to develop viable urban communities by providing decent housing and a suitable living environment, and by expanding economic opportunities, principally for low and moderate income persons, said Lauren Gibson, community planner with the Planning Commission. In actuality, the majority of CDBG funding must be used to benefit low and moderate income persons. Gibson said how the money can be spent is limited because it's a federal program, meaning some suggestions may not be possible, but the feedback will be noted and incorporated into other planning projects. Bloomington receives about $500,000 and Normal about $400,000 in CDBG funding each year, and they will not be combining their programs. The city currently spends 52% of its CDBG money on housing rehabilitation and service delivery, 20% on demolition, 13% on public services, 9% on infrastructure and public facilities, and 6% on administration, said grants coordinator Jennifer Tony. That includes providing no-interest loans to homeowners who need them to fix up their owner-occupied properties, she said. If the projects we've been funding are not meeting the community's needs, we need to shift our focus and funding priorities, said Tony of the survey. The results of this survey will be analyzed along with results from public meetings, focus groups, one-on-one stakeholder interviews, and more. The town has spent CDBG money on youth education activities, homeless outreach, improved affordability of housing, infrastructure improvements in low to moderate income areas of the community, public facilities and improvements, and clearance activities, said Associate Planner Taylor Long. That includes down payment assistance for homeowners, purchase and demolition of blighted properties, sidewalk and sewer projects, community health care clinic improvements, and Connect Transit bus shelters, he said. Public safety. A Pekin man faces methamphetamine charges. Justin D. Gooden, 36, is charged with unlawful delivery of more than 5 grams of meth during alleged drug transactions in Normal. He was jailed in lieu of posting $100,035. Drug charges are pending against a Bloomington man. Michael Yeagle, 38, of the 400 block of Standish Drive, is charged with unlawful delivery of less than 5 grams of meth. The alleged drug sale reportedly occurred in Bloomington. He was jailed in lieu of posting $5,035. And a Bloomington man faces weapons charges. Gregory Hightower, 29, of Wildrob Road, is charged with 2 counts of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. He was on parole after a robbery conviction when allegedly 2 guns were found in his home. He was jailed in lieu of posting $30,035. Area calendar. Wednesday. Registration for Youth and Women's Wing Shooting Clinic, which will be from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. April 28th and 29th at Moraine View State Recreation Area, Leroy, for boys and girls ages 10 to 18 and women of all ages. Sponsored by McLean County Pheasants Forever, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, Illinois Conservation Foundation. Supplies are provided. You can call 309-824-3558 or visit EGERTH at live.com. Spots are limited and you can choose either day. Visiting artist lecture, Betsy Alwyn, noon Wednesday at University Galleries, Uptown Station, Normal. All ages sensory friendly movie, 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday at the Normal Public Library. Best for those with sensory sensitivities, yet all are welcome. On Thursday, Chapter JVPEO, 12:30 p.m. at the home of Lynette Mahal. The program, Stars of the Past by Connie Foley, celebrating Founders Day. Bloomington's 5-day forecast. Today will be breezy with clouds and sun, a high of 74. Tonight, there will be thunderstorms, some severe, a low of 57. Thursday, cooler with heavy thunderstorms, a high of 58 and a low of 38. Friday will be mostly cloudy and breezy, the high of 55 and the low of 35. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 64 and a low of 47. And Sunday, warmer with clouds and sun, a high of 74 and a low of 52. Today you can expect 2 to 4 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity of 70% and poor drying conditions. College Spring Fest will be on Thursday, May 2nd at Grossinger Motors Arena, and the entertainment will be Lil Baby, Smoke Perp, Blunts, and Blondes. This is an all-ages show. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster, starting at $39. Cabaret icon Spider Saloff sings the Great American Songbook. This concert will benefit Autism McLean. It will be held on April 27th, 6 p.m. The doors open for drinks and light noshing, which will be catered by Baxter's American Grill. At 7:30, the evening program and cabaret performance will be held. This is being offered by Heartland Community College at the Community Education Center Auditorium in Normal. General admission is $35 per seat, which will include one drink ticket and bites catered by Baxter's. There is open seating in the auditorium. The Platinum package is $100 per seat. This package includes a private cocktail reception with Spider, who will share a couple of songs before the concert. They will have open bar and hors d'oeuvres, also catered by Baxter's, and reserved premium seating in the auditorium. Tickets can be obtained at tinyurl.com. We will take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. Please stay tuned.